You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 363, and our 10th full season of the podcast. Today's Sunday, April 23rd, and my name is Steve. No Ham tonight, but I'm joined by Curtis. And Curtin, tonight's show will look into the numbers behind this losing week, some lineup shuffling, the woeful bench, and also some changes in the bullpen. But first, a quick break. So, Curt, a tough week on the field. It started very well with the sweep of the Padres in the fourth game on Monday, but then fell apart in the win-loss column, getting swept 3 by the Nats here at home, and then 3 by the Phillies on the road. So let's look a little closer at some numbers the Braves put up this week to break it down. They scored 20 runs while giving up 37. That does not seem like a good recipe.
That feels like you lose more than you win.
Yes. At least the math played out like we thought it would.
Right.
21 runs given up by the starting pitching, 16 by the bullpen. Skewed a little bit by a couple of bad games, but you know,
today.
Yeah, today, right. The Sunday game, and then, of course, the Julio Nationals train wreck game. So one win. We can just stop there. One win by one
Woo-hoo!
Run. Yeah. Three losses by one run. A loss by 2 runs. A loss by 3 runs. And then the Nats blowout. So, Kurt, what were your big takeaways from this week?
We're not good.
Okay, sure. 1-6.
We're 4-0 against the Padres. We're 2-12 against Major League Baseball other than the Padres. The 6-game losing streak, where the batting average is 191. The ERA is over 5. And before that, the 5-game winning streak, we were scoring over 5.5 runs a game. Now we're scoring, during this 6-game losing streak, 2.5. a game. The batting average was 298. The ERA was 240. So it's sort of obvious. You can't hit and you can't pitch and you're not going to win. And that just sort of seems where the Braves are right now. Obviously, Kemp being out, that was the worst possible time that could have happened to him.
And Flowers going out too, who was hitting.
Yeah, right. So, you know, you just have these interruptions with just a few people that actually are delivering on your team. They had a stat today when Kemp hit his home run, which is sort of emblematic of really the season so far and things that we've talked about. But Freeman and Kemp have hit 10 home runs combined this year. With those 10 home runs, they've collected 14 RBI. And that's sort of the way it is. Dansby obviously still not hitting. Ender still struggling. There's just so many holes in the lineup. And if the pitching, even with Folty, as great as he was today, there's no room for error ever. They made a comment when Kemp hit that home run that, oh, this feels like a 3 or 4-0 lead the way Folty's pitching. And I was like, great.
Put that in the loss column.
Yeah.
You know,
so
yeah, go
ahead. No, I'm done.
Well, I was going to say, like, the starting pitching actually has not been bad. And this week, right? So throw out Tehran's 7-run travesty. And these are the earned runs given up by the starting pitchers this week. 2, 2, 3, 4, 2, and 1. Right? I mean, the 3 and the 4. So 4 was that Cologne start. 3 was, I think, the Garcia start. I mean, the starting pitching has not been terrible. And again, the bullpen in that awful Nationals start, they gave up 7 runs. I mean, it just imploded. Vizcaino and Kroll imploded that game. And then Vizcaino, I don't know what on earth happened today, because Vizcaino had been quite good. But, you know, the bullpen, other than that Nationals game and other than today, gave up 2, 1, 0, 0, and 2. So the bullpen's not been awful. Maybe it's maybe it is too convenient for me to say, well, throw out two games of the five this week and then look at what this team really is.
Right. Throw out 40% of the games.
Yeah, I mean, I will admit maybe that's too many games to throw out. But, you know, the starting pitching, I mean, we were least worried about the offense coming into this season, given the 20 of 30 wins at the end of the season last year, the being scoring the, you know, second most runs across August and September, the most runs across September. And this really is all about the offense. There's just no doubt about it, right? And it's some more numbers. I mean, it starts with Ender. Right? Ender had that amazing home run-filled second week of the season, but Ender's been pretty awful at the plate. I mean, this week, Ender was 4-for-29 with one walk. That's not good for your leadoff batter.
Yeah, and how many of those were strikeouts?
Yeah, I don't have that number in front of me, but yeah, he's not looked good. Feels like he's pitching at a lot of, that he's swinging at a lot of first pitches. In the two hole, Dansby went 1 for his 3 games in the two hole this week. Adonis actually fared much better. He went 4-for-13 with a homer, but he's still only OBP'd 308 this week in the two hole. Markakis had a down week. You know, Kemp came back and was still adjusting. I mean, Kemp didn't do anything until his homer today. Flowers, who had become sort of a big piece of the offense, he was out for half the week and is readjusting. So this offense cannot do much, and the pitching is not good enough to get by without a strong offense. I mean, that's how this team was built, right? You bring in Colon and Garcia and Dickey, and you're expecting 3.5, 4, 4.5 ERA from these guys, and that's exactly what they're doing. But the offense has to produce.
Right, and I guess they're expecting the same numbers that the offense was putting up at the second half of the season last year when everybody was clicking and all those things were happening. And so you can win a bunch of 5-4 games that way, and it's just not happening. And I know people are going to point to the schedule and the pitching that the Braves have had to face, but that's not going to change. We have to go back to New York. You're going to be facing New York and Washington all season long. So you're going to be facing good starting pitching there. You know, I mean, it's just you can't look for opportunities to get soft pitching because that's just few and far between. It's Major League Baseball.
Well, and with the unbalanced schedule, and it is brutal, but the facts that we're going to face the Mets and the Nationals, who have amazing pitching, a million times over the course of the season.
And I mean, you know, it's not like we scored a bunch of runs against the Phillies in Philadelphia, you know? I mean, so it's not just that it's the Nationals and the Mets that are overpowering us. We scored 8 runs in 3 games against the Phillies in that park.
Yeah, in that tiny park. No, I'm with you. So with the focus on the offense, Kurt, and we will get to the fact that Dansby was lower down in the batting order later in the show. But I was particularly surprised that with that move, Phillips didn't end up in the two, but Adonis ended up in the two. Phillips is one of the hottest hitters we have on the team right now after Freddie. So Adonis did not get the start today, just getting some rest, and Phillips was in the two hole. Do you think come Tuesday in New York, Phillips stays in the two hole or Adonis will be back? What's your prediction?
I guess because of the lack of offense that was displayed today, who knows that they might throw Adonis back in there at two. I know some people were offering that Adonis would get more fastballs being in the two hole. It didn't make any sense to me either. I don't understand why you wouldn't have more opportunities for a guy who, and not just recently, I mean, he's a major league hitter. He's had a career where he's been a good hitter on the major league level.
And that's the thing. I mean, you kind of said it. We want Phillips to get as many at-bats as possible. Adonis Garcia is not a long-term piece in all of this. To sacrifice some of good batting order construction for him to see some more fastballs It makes no sense. Phillips has got to be in the two hole when they start playing again in New York on this Tuesday. I mean, anything else just makes no sense to me.
And they've got to get
it's got to be the focus. So
yeah, they've got to get the top of the lineup going. I know that's easier said than done, but it all breaks down to that 10 home run, 14 RBI number. It's all right there.
Right. No one's on base for these guys.
No one's on base. And the guys that have produced this year are Freddie and Kemp. So if you've got no one on for them and you're not taking advantage of the only guys that are hitting consistently on your team, then you don't have a chance.
Yeah. And I don't see Ender moving anytime soon. It seems like Dansby, until he starts hitting again, is not going to be back in the two.
What would be the option to lead off? You'd put Phillips there, or you'd put Markakis there?
Phillips is like the only other option, and it's not a great one. Even though he's like third in the NL in stolen bases too.
Right.
Got to get the top of the lineup going, or these offensive woes are not going to get much better. All right, Kurt, next up, some more storylines from the week, but first, a quick break. So, staying with the topic of Dansby, earlier this week, Brian Snitker said that he would not move Dansby down in the lineup, and then promptly followed by giving him a day off, and then moving him to the eighth spot. So, Kurt, right move? Do you like where he moved him?
It has to be that way. He is not hit, and you don't want to take him out of the lineup defensively, whatever the case might be. So I think you got to keep him in there. You got to get him his at-bats. But I think it was the right thing to move him down to eight. We talked about it last week, maybe the week before with Ham. I think that's the only thing that you can do is have him there, and hopefully he can get out of it.
Yeah, he's the worst offensive regular right now. You gotta limit his at-bats. Put him down in the lineup. I don't understand why Snitker said what he did in the beginning of the week. It was like a football, you know, it was like a general manager in football giving a vote of confidence to a coach and then firing him the next week. It didn't make a lot of sense, but I'm glad that he finally came to his senses and did it. It's really interesting, the leave Dansby alone, it's too early. Just a quick story. I think I've mentioned that my very fancy studio is here in the walk-in closet in my bedroom. And so last week, so Sunday night, right, we're recording, and my wife is on the other side of the door in our bedroom, and she's using her meditation app, right, where she's like lowering her breathing and getting the needle to move into some color or whatever. And she hears us start our Dansby conversation. And she said that it got her out of her calm color and into an angry color, because she was like, you guys leave Dansby alone. It's too early. What are you doing? But I think there's a lot of that out there. But come on. Look, I know there's all the talk about Dansby on his really low BABIP, his batting average on balls put in play, and that he's got the third fastest exit velocity on the team. And that's all great. And look, I hope that it is the reason that he snaps out of this really fast. But he's also struck out a lot. And like today, prime example, that ninth inning at bat with the bases loaded and just a can of corn to shallow center field, those pop-ups are not going to get it done. I'm not saying give up on Dansby. I think Dansby will be fine. But it was the right thing to do to move him down.
Yeah, talk about reaching for straws.
that his exit velocity is really good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's all we have at this point, Kurt.
Mm.
All right, so keeping with the good news, the bench has been even worse than expected. The pinch hitters heading into today were 2-for-27. And how many pinch hitters were there today? I didn't look at that. I guess
two.
Tyler Flowers, right? Tyler Flowers.
Adonis struck out, and Flowers grounded out at the end of the game.
Okay, yeah. So 2-for-29. So that's good. So, Kurt, now 3 weeks in the books, would you spend that $5 million on Angel Pagan?
I saw that he said he's not playing in 2017.
Oh, he's just taken his toys and gone home?
Yeah, and I don't know if that's because he has not been actually offered money to have his mind changed. But I don't know that he is the answer, and $5 million on Angel Pagan is the answer. I have no idea, but it is so... 2 for $29 seems...
Impossible.
To contrast that, the Phil's pinch hitters are 6 for $19.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter...
Which is better.
Yeah. The only teams that have as poor or lower batting average are teams that have like 3 or 4 pinch hits. You know, it's the American League teams, of course, who are pinch hitting much less.
Right. It's all the same player. Jace Peterson, Chase Darnot, Emilio Bonifacio, they're all the same sort of guy. And they're none of them are really great hitters.
Yeah, no, Jace is the most hopeful that you see come up there. And it's not really that hopeful. And you're right. I mean, Chase is not getting hits. Bonifacio is worse. We have 3 guys on the bench who are really good pinch runners and bunters because you're moving a guy over and replacing that spot in the lineup. No, it is just, you're right, it's the same. It's the same at bat over and over again. It's the same poor option over and over again. But, I have no doubt that Copy has scoured his options, right? They would have made a trade if there was anything remotely fair to do in the last week or so of spring training and would have done something so far now. So I don't know that this changes. I mean, Ryan Howard had his first game in Gwinnett.
He's batting 1,000.
Saturday night. Yes, he is. So 2 singles, had a hit by pitch and a walk. The starter was a righty. I don't know that he faced any lefties. I would assume that Ryan Howard will probably be here sooner than later, especially there's a couple of American League series coming up in the next couple of weeks where we could use a designated hitter. I think if Ryan just continues to do anything that remotely seems like a heartbeat, they will bring him up. But it's pretty grim on the bench.
So and you'd Curtis, lose nothing. Sorry, one last. You'd lose nothing if you got rid of some of these guys. It's not like if you sent Bonifacio down or whatever, just got rid of him or Chase or any of these guys, that it would have any noticeable impact on anything that you did.
Right. It couldn't be any worse.
Yeah.
Couldn't be any worse. All right. So, Kurt, Matt Whistler was called up for long relief this morning, Sunday. Aaron Blair sent down after not making an appearance. So I'll start with this one. The Blair thing occurred because Cole Mentor had thrown 50 pitches in the Julio Nationals game. And I thought that with this move, maybe Cole Mentor was not feeling well. They wanted a different long reliever or something. But Brian Snitker, in response to this move, said that he may start using Cole Mentor more in middle relief and mix and match the optionable pieces like Whistler, like Blair, for long relief. So there may just be a, let's fortify the bullpen with Cole Mentor and not just let him sit around for 5 days in a row when there's no long relief opportunity, and have guys like Whistler and Blair in for long relief. So interesting. I mean, I don't know what it says. You want to keep these guys on a regular schedule in Gwinnett and see if they start to bounce back. I mean, Whistler's 3.5 ERA, 1.2 whip. I didn't actually look at Blair's numbers. So what do you think about this approach?
I completely agree with you. I don't think that it serves Whistler or Blair any good to come up here as long relievers. If their future is as a starter, then they need to be starting games. There's got to be somebody in the system or somebody they can go out and get that can serve as a long reliever for this team other than 2 guys who they're hoping that at some point can come back and produce for them in a starting position. So
yeah,
I don't get it.
I I wonder if they are just going to shuffle them back and forth in between starts. So there's a bit of an insurance policy there. There's one spot open on the 40 man. Hopefully they're keeping it open for that bench guy that's coming around the corner, right? It could be Ryan Howard. I mean, he's not on the 40 man roster.
Right.
So they don't want to, fill up that roster spot, I'm assuming. So this is the next best option, because you're right. Surely there is depth in AAA at the starting pitching ranks or within the bullpen who could serve that role, but they don't want to take up that 40 man. So hopefully there is some method to this madness and the Whistler Blair thing doesn't continue on, but we'll see how that plays out. All right, so Curtis, let's move on to Shot in the Dark, our prediction for the coming week. And we'll look back at last week, starting with our listener-submitted Shot in the Dark from Marla Mitchell on Twitter, who predicted that Matt Kemp would hit a home run during his first AB back this week. So Kemp did come back in the final game of the Nat series. He struck out in his first at-bat. So thanks, Marla. I wish it had turned out that way, but not so much. So let's look at our predictions from last week. Hammy predicted that Folty would go 2-0 and give up a total of 4 earned runs or less. So Folty ended the week with a loss and a no decision. He pitched 7 in his first game, giving up 2 earned runs, and then 7 again today, giving up 1 earned run. Curtis, you predicted that Freddie Freeman would bat over 350 with 10 extra base hits and 10 RBI. He batted a paltry 454, had 6 extra base hits and 6 RBI.
Not bad.
And then, yeah. So, you know, but he needs to have more of the week like you predicted for the
break,
you know, to close that gap for a couple of those one-run losses.
Stop mailing it in, Freddie.
So I predicted that the Braves would score at least 5 earned runs against Strasburg, because I was picturing him starting poorly at SunTrust Park. That was not to be. He pitched very well, gave up 2 earned runs. So, Curtis, as close as you were, I think I'm giving this one to Hammy.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
You know, wins and losses are kind of dumb, and Hammy shouldn't have predicted those anyways, but going 3 earned runs over 2 starts this week from Folty, pretty amazing.
Just don't tell him. He never listens to the show. So
yeah, no, he'll never know how it went. So Hammy predicts that the starters give up 3 runs or less in each of our losses this coming week.
So is that 6 of them?
Yeah, Hammy putting his big stamp of approval on the offense. Kurt, what do you got this week?
Brandon Phillips going over 300 with 4 extra base hits. I've tempered myself a little this week because the offense is so terrible.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Tehran, and that he comes out on a tear this week after his terrible start against the Nationals. He has 2 starts this week. I predict he gives up 3 or less earned over those 2 starts and gets a hit.
Whoa.
Yeah. All right, folks, don't forget to get your Shot in the Dark in before first pitch on Tuesday. No game on Monday. And if we pick yours, we'll discuss it on next week's show. All right, Kurt, the week ahead. Quickly back to this past week. We all predicted 4-3 this week. Oh, if only.
Yeah, we've now been swept 3 times, I think, this year.
Well, 2 this week.
And then the Pirates.
The Pirates. Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. All right, so 6 games this week, all on the road as the Braves continue their second very long road trip.
Did they arrange something when they opened SunTrust Park that the circus was going to have a permanent placement there or something? I mean, why are they on the road so much right at the beginning of the year?
No, this was a request by the organization so that they would have
a built-in cushion in case something happened
to help fix a bunch of the stuff that they figure out during that dry run of the the final spring training game against the Yankees, the Georgia-Missouri game, and so that then they could figure stuff out there. And then, yeah, after the Padres-Nationals series, so they could fix what they learned there as well.
Is the offense on that list of things that they're going to fix while they're on the road? Yeah.
All right, so here are the pitching matchups. Tehran Gesellman and his 5.1 ERA. Next, Dickie Syndergaard and his 1.73. And then Cologne faces Matt Harvey and his 2.84. So it doesn't get much easier. On to Milwaukee, where our pitchers will face Eric Thames, the best hitter in baseball. You following this? The guy he's leading the league in home runs. He was a marginal MLB player, and then he spent the last 3 years in the Korean League, and now he's come back.
Got a pretty decent
contract from the Brewers, and he's just killing it.
They had a quote from him during the game today, and they said, "Well, why did you sign with Milwaukee?" And he said, "Well, they have lots of beer there, and I like beer."
My 16-year-old was like, "Oh, well, he was in Korea the last 3 years. You know, he's definitely on the juice. Like, Korea has some PED baseball factory."
Oh, I thought he was going to say, "Well, that's a much better league than the MLB is, and that's why he's come back and dominated."
So I'm not clear about the Korean PED connection, but my son is convinced that's what's going on there with Eric Thames. All right, so it'll be Garcia versus Chase Anderson and his 1.13. Folty will then face Jimmy Nelson in his 4.56, although he had two great starts, but then a 7-run outing that really killed his ERA. And we finish the week with Tehran versus Matt Garza and his 4.03. So, Curtis, kind of hard to see a lot of wins this week after the week we just had, but what do you predict this week?
1-5.
So is the one win come in Milwaukee?
Yep, get swept by the Mets, win one in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, I've got 2-4. Hammy had 1-5 as well, by the way. I'm going 2-4. We win against Gesellman, and we find a win in Milwaukee. But the offense has got to turn around. That's really all this is about now.
This week looks like the time it's going to happen.
Well, I grant you. It's not exactly a soft schedule of pitchers to turn the offense around, but maybe they figure it out. I mean, it needs to happen soon, or this season is going to careen out of control.
Yes. Is it strange that Paco Rodriguez is still a free agent?
Damn. I mean, like, maybe it's not strange because everyone came and asked the Braves about, well, what happened there? And whatever they told them was not good.
They blackballed him.
Yeah, they did. That's right. He and what's his name? Kaepernick are sitting together drinking beers.
Kneeling together.
That's right. All right, folks, that is the show. Remember, we are at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access our shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk, and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.